Hi everyone, my name is Robert Hutchins. I'm your host of the Coastal Bend Chat, and welcome back to the show. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about autism and what we went through initially, what we see now, and give y'all some websites that have resources and whatnot. So anyway, we will be back in a moment. Okay, and I'm back, and just to start things off, my youngest son was diagnosed with autism back when it was just shy of 2 years old. He was about 20, 22 months old, and we suspected for a while something was going on, and my wife took him to the pediatrician around 15 months old, and he wanted to give him a little bit longer, and we went through a lot of medical stuff with him trying to get a diagnosis. Luckily, the pediatrician started his speech therapy, occupational therapy, and physical therapy based on the symptoms. And I found out that that's pretty important because he started getting it actually around 18 months old. He started getting his therapies maybe 15 months old, but it's really paid off in the long run because he started way back then, and we would have waited till almost 2 years old, so it could have been anywhere from, 4 months to 6 months, something like that, if we would have waited for an actual diagnosis. And down here in Corpus Christi area, at one point we thought he was having seizures, so took him to the pediatrician. Pediatrician was like, look, let's get him into the hospital, do an overnight thing, an MRI. Well, took him to the children's hospital down here, and they put him in for a, 72-hour EEG, the brain waves, and nothing came of it. Well, they decided, I think later they did the MRI as an outpatient basis, but the neurologist said there was nothing wrong with him, refused to see him. And mind you, the child is almost two and he's not talking. He has major balance issues where he keeps falling down when he tries to walk. And so he, obviously there was something more to it that was going on that the neurologist, who had a terrible bedside manner, just decided to overlook. So anyway, we got that, and the thing is, there was only a couple down here, and his partner was also part of the hospital. So, that being said, once he said that he didn't need a neuroconsult, that put us out with them, the partner as well. So, by then, we were frustrated. I was like, look, we're not doing this, we're not playing their games, we'll go elsewhere. And this is where, luckily, my claims adjuster background came into play, because I deal with doctors all the time, and I'm not afraid to call it how it is, and ruffle feathers if I have to get what was needed. And so, we got him back in with a pediatrician, got a referral to a neurologist in Austin, up in Austin, Texas. And went up there and talked to the lady doctor, and she answered all her questions. She had seen it before and had a diagnosis, and it was autism, and it fit. That was the thing. Because the whole time, the pediatrician was thinking possibly cerebral palsy, and, he wasn't sure, but everything she said and explained fit to a T as far as the diagnosis goes. And I think his actual diagnosis, speech delay, sensory processing disorder, autism spectrum disorder, and then developmental delay. So we kept the therapies, and then for a while, I think it was every 3 or 6 months, we would make a trip to Austin for follow-up. And anyway, the doctor was pleased with his progress, and so we did that. We went through probably 6 or 7 therapists, because the thing about it is, as we learned him and also did further research, back then the biggest driving force behind his day was a sensory processing disorder. And so everything had that had to be taken care of first before you could make progress anywhere else. And so a lot of these therapists, well, some of them didn't even have pediatric experience. And some of them, they didn't know sensory processing. And we were having to do home therapy at the time. So we got with the home health agency, and luckily one of the ladies there, she was like, very accommodating, and they would find someone who did have experience. I mean, at one point it was utterly ridiculous because they were sending out a physical therapy assistant, and the therapist was sitting in a cushy office somewhere, not doing anything. And this lady didn't have any, sensory processing experience. I don't remember if the therapist did or not, but at that point we were like, look, we want a therapist. And she refused to come out, so we just like fired her. I just told her, look, I'm gonna find someone else, don't worry about it. And that's the thing you have to do. You have to be willing to like step on people's toes. It doesn't matter. It's business. It's all about what's best for your child or loved one, whatever, or yourself even, if you're on the autism spectrum. Don't be afraid to ask questions, and don't be afraid to step on toes if you don't feel like you're getting somewhere. And I've had to do it numerous times over the years, and I'm usually the one who gets involved and does it because I don't mind. I mean, I do it on a regular basis at work anyway, so anyway, but we went to a bunch of therapists and finally got a good group. And then over the years, they kind of move, one would move, another one would move, and we'd get replacements and they'd be good. Now we're kind of at a point where home health is really hard to come by down here, and even for the therapist. So we're fixing to do everything in-house, where he's getting occupational therapy right now, and hopefully everything will keep progressing. Things have changed with him over the years as well. I mean, he's very verbal now, but one of the things that we ran into was behavioral and anxiety. For a while, we could barely leave the house. He'd be freaking out about dogs getting him. And he told us one time he had a dream that a musher was trying to get him, and the musher's dog was trying to bite his feet, bite his toes. And because he had never been bitten by a dog or growled at by a dog or anything, I mean, there was no reason for him to have that fear. So I mean, he would freak out driving, taking me if we went to work or they went to therapy in Corpus or whatever. He was like sick to his stomach. Sometimes he'd break down crying. Sometimes he'd just like complain the whole time over there, and then later on he'd have a bunch of meltdowns. And that was the thing too. He was having a bunch of meltdowns as well. And as he's gotten older, we've kind of determined, like, hey, a lot of this is not getting his way and making bad choices and more of a tantrum situation than a meltdown, because a meltdown is something they can't really control. So we noticed that, and we started having to come up with ways to help him overcome things. And one of the things, unfortunately, because neither one of us really believes in it, is his medication. But we had to get him on anxiety medication, which has actually worked wonders, and it's helped him overcome quite a bit. Now he even he'll look at dogs and stuff. So and things he used to be afraid of, he's not really afraid of. He doesn't really, every once in a while, stress over being in the car, but most of the time now it's not an issue. Don't see a lot of meltdowns and tantrums. We still have them, but not near the frequency that it was. And so that's really helped. But the main thing with autism is usually there's a speech, a language delay, some kind of language delay. Or my stepson had an expressive language delay, and he got some therapy and got caught up. And then I think in middle school or junior high, he started kind of having issues with words again, expressing, picking the right word to use in the right situation. And so we got him additional therapy, and he got caught back up, and now everything seems to be fine. And with him, he's more higher functioning, like Asperger's, or developmental delay. And so with him, it's more social situation awareness, like may not get that, hey, something's not really cool to do or say in certain settings. And that's usually correctable. But anyway, and the youngest, he keeps, he has a lot of OCD too. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has ADD or ADHD. But like I said, as they grow, I believe that things change, because I noticed we've seen changes with my son. But yeah, speech, sensory processing, just developmental. Like right now, my 9-year-old's probably, emotionally and whatnot, maturity wise, probably that of a 5-year-old, I would guesstimate, maybe 6. So a little behind. And with him, he hadn't been able to handle public school at all. We've tried it several times, and first time was just a complete disaster, and the district wouldn't work with us. Oh, we pulled him out. And then the second time, we thought everything was going okay, just putting him in half a day. And then, he was coming home and having meltdowns and being very aggressive with the other two kids. So anyway, it's been a roller coaster ride. But and that's another thing, when it comes to school, if you're going to put them in public school, if they don't know sensory processing, if they don't know autism like really well and have a lot of experience, it's very hard for the kid to blossom in that environment. Like with my youngest son, sensory processing, if his sensory's not, if it's out of whack, and that's making him to where he's having a rough day, learning's out the window. Not gonna learn a thing. It's a waste of time. And so what we did is that, when we had him in half a year for half a day, I think he had been tested before he went in, and then when he came out, and there was very little gain. And so it basically came down to a decision of, hey, is it worth it? And it wasn't. He was miserable, and he was getting angry at everything and everyone, so it wasn't worth it. My wife's been homeschooling him, and she does have an education background, but he's learning, and actually probably learning more than he would in public school. I don't know. But anyway, Ideally, yeah, it'd be great to have him in school, but realistically, we're probably looking at another year or two away from it. Even his therapist kind of confirmed that. But yeah, and so, and then a lot of people in the spectrum also have gut issues, like with gut balance and sick to the stomach, having intestinal issues and whatnot. And then there's just a whole, it's like I said whenever I talked about our autism journey, that podcast, I mean, no two people on the spectrum are exactly alike, none. And so it's really like there's no one size fits all, and you just gotta learn it. I mean, it's like ABA therapy. A lot of people I see get great results with ours. It freaked him out. He couldn't handle going over there. And he started out on therapy with his DIR, floor time, the floor time model. And so that's always worked wonders with him. And then music therapy, I've seen a bunch of people benefit from music therapy as well. And with ours, it's like it was too much, and he couldn't handle it, and we just had to drop all that. And he's always done well with the three major ones: speech, occupational, and physical therapies. And that's where he's gained and been able to like overcome a lot of deficiencies. And so anyway, but yeah, we have an autism website, southtexasautism.org, and then on Twitter it's STX Autism, and then on Facebook it's South Texas Autism. But we share a bunch of stuff on there, and then our website, we have a lot of good stuff on there as well, and resources. And then autism speaks. A lot of people don't like them. I'm neither here nor there on them, on their charity, their giving and whatnot. I think the big gripe is like there's too much expense where the money's going, and not necessarily back to help the autism community. But they do have some good stuff there. I think it's autismspeaks.org. And then National Autism Association, and that's a good one for like wandering prevention. And that's another thing, a lot of people, or a lot of kids on the spectrum, will wander. They'll just like walk out a door, and there's been a big thing, like a lot of them will end up with water and drown. And that's another thing they encourage, is people to teach your kids how to swim at an early age. Luckily, I mean, ours is like gotten out or a few times, opened the door, but we were there and he didn't go anywhere. But yeah, that thought is scary. We definitely we have locks up high as we can get. Now he's grown quite a bit, so he can reach the chain lock, and so we may have to move it up again. But he's really listened to us on that, about staying, not just going out on his own. And so, but yeah, there's a lot of kids that end up getting loose and drowning or getting hit by cars or whatnot, because they don't always know like the dangers that's out there in their surroundings. So anyway, but that. And then if you're in the Corpus Christi area, there's Autism Spectrum Resource Center there. I forget their website, but they have a Facebook group, and so you actually hear from people in that group, like parents. And then I think they have a get together. There's a site called meetup.com, and I believe around the country, but you can look for certain types of groups in an area, and a lot of them will have meetups. We had never really been able to go because my youngest son, around strangers' kids. Now he's gotten a lot better. He's actually talking to kids, but used to he'd be freaking out, and no kid's ever done anything to him to like instill that fear. Nothing's ever happened to him. So, anyway, but he they have meetup groups as well, and then there's other websites, and Facebook groups and whatnot, and they have a there's a lot of good information out there. Just, the biggest thing I encourage is people is like learn your kid, learn your child, and adapt with the changes, because one thing may work today, may not work tomorrow. So you just got to be creative and keep looking for answers and keep staying positive. We did a lot of praying over the years with mine. I mean, there's been some days you just feel like hopeless, and you just have to find something positive to hold on to, that something is gonna change and it's gonna get better. But anyway, but yeah, I just wanted to share that with y'all. Hopefully y'all find it helpful. And again, like I said, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, check out our website. I'm gonna start doing these on Wednesdays, and I may just throw like, hey, 5-minute deal, like, hey, this is what we went through this week. And anyway, maybe it'll help someone. But until next time, I will talk to y'all later. Thanks a lot for listening.